Welcome once again to Landmarks for Living. This is Richard Melson, evangelist at the Needmore Road Church of Christ. This is a radio ministry where every listener is encouraged to not only read, but study their Bible daily according to Acts chapter 17 and verse number 11. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you think. Friends, God is indeed concerned what you do. Today is May 17, 2026. Please check out our website at www.needmoreroadcoc.com. Past broadcasts of Landmarks for Living are archived at our website. Past issues of the Edifier newsletter are available for your download. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You only need to subscribe one time. We would love for you to visit with us on Sundays at 2211 Needmore Road. This is where the church assembles each first day of the week. Bible study at 9:30 a.m. Worship at 10:30 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. We assemble again on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And we do want to alert you to this. Starting in June, for 13 weeks, our summer series under the theme, Be Encouraged. Starting June the 3rd, each Wednesday night from June the 3rd through August 26th, we'll have a speaker who will be studying a chapter in the book of Hebrews in our adult class. And so we invite you to come and to be with us as we look at Be Encouraged, studies in the Epistle to the Hebrews starting June 3rd, 7 p.m., going through August the 26th. Different speakers each Wednesday evening. I appreciate everyone who listens to Landmarks for Living each Sunday morning on 98.7 FM, WGNZ AM 1110, and FM 104.3, or by streaming online at thesoulofdayton.com or WGNZ.com. Friends, since the start of this program, the emphasis has not changed. It is to teach only that which is authorized by God in the Bible. If you have a question about anything that is taught during our broadcast, please write to us so that we can supply a Bible answer to your Bible question. You may write to us at Landmarks for Living, care of the Needmore Road Church of Christ, 2211 Needmore Road, Dayton, Ohio, 45414, or you may email me at dr.rdmelson@nmrcoc.com. Beloved, the Bible is the only approved standard for authority today in all matters of morality, ethics, and religion, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, do not move nor remove the divine landmarks. We dare not step outside the sphere of divine authority and then try to pretend that we are walking by faith, for faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Keep this in mind, that the way we treat the Scriptures, the Bible, God's Word, is the way we treat the Lord. Dayton, are you listening? I hope that you've learned from our earlier studies that the Scriptures are the complete, sufficient, error-free source of truth. As such, Jehovah issued forth warnings in both the Old and the New Testaments. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2 in the Old Testament and Revelation chapter 22 verses 18 and 19 in the New Testament, not to add to or to take away from God's Word. Dayton, are you listening? And so we come to understand that God's Word is all the truth necessary for the genuine spiritual life. And it completely meets all the spiritual needs of mankind. Dayton, are you listening? Friends, we must learn to take the Lord with us. Every child of God learns as he studies and is obedient to that which God's word has said, that everywhere we go daily, take the Lord with us. We do not try to compartmentalize our Christianity. Last week, we took a little deviation from our specific study about character and Bible characters, and we interjected and spoke about a lesson that would focus in on Mother's Day, and we hope that that was beneficial to you. It wasn't too far afield from what we were studying because we looked at characters, female characters from the Word of God. And it was in line with that which we were teaching. As we said a couple of weeks ago when we talk about from a study of the teachings of Christ and his apostles, we can analyze all human relationships into three areas. Our behavior toward God, our behavior toward others, and our behavior toward self. All the virtues enjoined upon those who belong to God through Jesus Christ, as he taught in the Sermon on the Mount, as are identified by the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, the qualities of spiritual life that the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Peter mentions in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, or the characteristics that the Holy Spirit emphasizes in the chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13. When you look at any of those, when you look at all of those, Sermon on the Mount, the fruit of the Spirit, the quality of the spiritual life in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, or the characteristics of love that the Holy Spirit mentions in 1 Corinthians 13, these can be cataloged and outlined under these three headings: our behavior toward God, our behavior toward others, and our behavior toward self. You know, this outline is interesting and valuable to know and should be remembered and used as a real aid to understanding what the New Testament teaches or the New Testament ideal of the Christian character that glorifies God. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to glorify God. That's what our desire should be, to glorify Almighty God. Our purpose, why are we here? To glorify God. And so let's think about this outline. Let's think about this and understand that the outline is based on the fact that there are three and only three basic relationships in life. What is that? Or what are they? Well, they are our relationship to God. Jesus said, "You love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So we are to love God. We are to love others. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we are to have the proper relationship with self. We are not to exalt self, nor are we to act as if self is not important, because we belong to God. We are purchased at a price. Of course, many do not recognize the relationship to God, but it is there, for he is all of our creator, and ultimately everyone is going to have to give an account to God and recognize who he is. And it's best to do it now, because if you reject him and you die rejecting him, or if the Lord should return and you are still rejecting him, it'll be too late. Because the Lord will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 9. Dayton, are you listening? Well, let's delve into this a little bit. The chief virtue toward God is faith, for without faith, we are told that it is impossible to please him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. God does not require belief as a tyrant demanding it, but faith in him is a logical necessity to receive his blessing. This can be illustrated by believing in a bank to invest your money and draw interest. You have to believe in order to trust enough to invest your money and receive the benefits. If we do not believe him and his love for us as manifested in the Christ, we would not love him. So faith begets love, as John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. I want you to open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. Love then produces obedience to him, for Jesus said, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 15. Such faith and love will certainly lead us to worship him in spirit and truth, as we are admonished to do in John chapter 4 and verse 24, and to hold him, the creator of the universe, our sovereign God, to hold him in reverence as stipulated in the first four of the Old Testament Ten Commandments. And this is indicated in the phrase, in the model prayer of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, when the Lord says, hallowed be thy name. Jesus emphasized, we are to hallow God. We are to give God reverence. And so the chief virtue toward God is faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For one must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The main virtue toward others is love. The agape love of self-sacrificial devotion demonstrated by Jesus on the cross, Paul teaches, is expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. As Paul goes through emphasizing, he says, look, you know, when you live a life and you do all of these things, but if your motivation for doing these things is not love, then they're empty. And you read 1 Corinthians 13, there are only 13 verses in this chapter, Paul points out in each of these, and he says, he emphasizes, if I do these things without love, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And in each of these statements, as he goes through, he says, if I don't have love in each of these, he says, it is nothing. Love. The agape love. This is the chief virtue. Human relationships is indicated by Paul when he refers to this, when he talks about what is essential in the body of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, well, and look at it in its context. So starting in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Oh, the main virtue that we are to have toward others is love. When love is absent in the relationships one to another, oh, they will fall apart. Because we're human beings, we're going to make mistakes, we're going to do things that might hurt someone, but when there is love, those relationships can bear up and will be sustained. Such love will produce long suffering, which is bearing up under wrongs done to you by others. And when that occurs, instead of retaliating, one endures, one suffers. One does not retaliate because love is the bond of perfection. Think about some of these things. Forgiveness and kindness to others is the result of such love. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, behave in a certain way toward one another because we love them. Truthfulness must be manifested by it. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9, lie not to one another. Why? Because we love one another. Even good citizenship would be produced by it. We will be good citizens of, most importantly, the kingdom of Christ. But more importantly, we'll be good citizens in even the kingdom of men, because we love God, we love our brother and sisters in Christ, and we also love the world. This produces the right kind of relationship, one with another, even in civil society. For the child of God responds even to the world in the proper way. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 13. You see, too much of us still haven't gotten the world out of our system. And we have some who still respond to things that happen to us with a worldly attitude, meaning we act just like the world acts. You slight me, I'm going to slight you back. Well, Paul does not think that that's how the child of God ought to behave, not if we have love for one another. Remember, in Romans 13, Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. But as you read all the way down through Romans chapter 13, because of time, remember what Paul says after he makes these observations, verses 1 through 7. Then he says in verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And so the secondary virtue that we understand is that we are to love others. Third, the primary virtue towards self is temperance or self-control. And this is listed, of course, by the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia in Galatians chapter 5. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, verse 23, gentleness, self-control, since against such there is no law. And this, so temperance basically means self-control. Such control will produce purity. For we will control sexual passions. We will control lust of the flesh. It will foster industry. But we will overcome the tendency to laziness, and we will do the work for the Lord with zeal. Temperance results in patience toward circumstances, so that we do not become discouraged, but persevere in the face of all trials. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. Paul says, let patience have its perfect or complete work. This is that type of patience that God wants us to have, as the Holy Spirit indicates in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, as he talks about characters. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Humility is also an outgrowth of this virtue. You know, as we overcome the desire to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, remember Paul says in Romans chapter 12, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. When we are humble, we then are not thinking of ourselves as being more important than we ought. And we control self-esteem and aggression. And so when we take the right attitude of self, temperance, or self-control, then we don't put ourselves in a position that we get bent out of shape when we think we're passed over for something. Dayton, are you listening? This whole spectrum of Christian character, as we said, as it's outlined and we have presented it, we put proper emphasis on the proper things toward God. Faith. What is my attitude toward God? I must believe that God is. Yes, and in so doing, I need to love God. I have to have obedience to Him. I must worship Him and Him only, and I must give God the reverence that is due Him. Toward others, love. Oh, be willing to forgive others when they do me wrong and repent. Be kind toward others, long-suffering, patience toward people. Oh, aren't we all thankful that someone was patient with us and gave us time to grow? And truthfulness. Oh, we must have truthfulness with each other. In the body of Christ, love is that bond of perfection. And toward self, temperance, self-control. Pure, if we have temperance toward self, that means we'll have purity. We will be industrious. And the idea of industrious will work. Patience toward circumstances and allow God to work through us. We'll persevere. We will put on humility, lose ourselves in a cause that is bigger and greater than ourselves, God's cause. Dayton, are you listening? You know, as we have been striving to emphasize these qualities and characteristics that make up the kind of character that God wants, I want us to put a pin in this because we don't have time to complete this today. Lord willing, we'll come back next week and conclude this series of lessons dealing with character. Remember, those the primary virtues that God expects us to have is that we are to express our behavior toward God, others, and self. Toward God, faith. Toward others, love. Toward self, temperance. Beloved, it does matter what you think. Beloved, it does matter how you think. God has a plan of redemption that requires faith in Him, repentance of sin, that's a change of mind, that's evidenced by a change in action, confession that, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and surrender to water immersion for the forgiveness of sins. If we can help you to obey the gospel, reach out to us. Dayton, I hope you have been listening.